May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wonder what it was like to be in that crowd. That crowd that was gathering along the road where Jesus came from the Mount of Olives toward the city. Maybe you've been part of a big crowd before. I'm thinking of parades, big concerts, ball games. When you stop being able to make out the individual voices and the voice of the crowd takes on a life of its own. I can think very clearly of an example in my own life. I went to Yankee Stadium wearing Red Sox gear when I was a younger man. Mike Darman and I drove down, and we got to the game a little bit late. We got in the stadium, and we wound our way through, and we come out into the upper deck at old Yankee Stadium with our blue and red Sox hats like targets on our heads. And I can remember this wave of sound washing over me. And I felt this pulse of animosity from 50-something thousand gathered in the house that Ruth built. The Sox lost that day, I remember that. I think the multitude that welcomed Jesus was a bit different. They gathered on a spring day in Palestine 2,000 years ago. But I think there was something of that same excitement, that same buzz, that energy, that tinge of fear, perhaps. Scholars estimate that the population of Jerusalem was about 40,000 on any given day, but that at the Passover, when the city swelled with pilgrims and Roman soldiers, that the city might have been about 250,000. And so I wonder, how many were there to greet Jesus? The city swelled with Roman soldiers because they too marched into Jerusalem for the Passover, with Pilate, their governor, at the head of their column. They came from Caesarea Maritime, from the west, and they came to maintain order. They came for good reason, of course, because the Passover festival marked the liberation of Israel from another empire, that of Pharaoh and Egypt. And it was often a time of unrest in the city, the possibility of revolution in the air. I wonder what that crowd was like. How many were there to see Jesus, to shout out his praise, to strew their palm branches and their cloaks on the road? Luke writes that the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." This description of the crowd as a multitude of disciples suggests that many already knew Jesus, knew what he was proclaiming, knew what his teaching was about, had already dedicated themselves to the kingdom of God that he was announcing. Jesus marches through this growing mob as a one-man procession, riding on this young colt. He fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. So Jesus rides into Jerusalem, knowing what it is that he is to confront, knowing the deadly force of Rome's desire to maintain the peace, knowing that he was to face the religious authorities. And even so, he marched on toward his fate, knowing that his victory would not be won through military power. His victory would not be won through killing, but in being unafraid to die. Knowing that his movement and his messengers would not be silenced in his death, they would be born through it. And so, as we enter Holy Week, we too draw near in that crowd to see Jesus, to hear our Messiah. We draw near to confront death, bringing with us our fear, our gravity. We too will go to the cross. We too will go to the tomb, trusting that we will encounter Christ there. Amen.